Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance.
Listeners, today you hear how one man who was an example of leading in love impacted so many. Hello, I'm John Matarazzo, and you have heard me on the show as a guest, hosting for Dr. Green while he's on vacation. Today, I will be narrating our sign-off to this great man, who not only led in love, but more importantly, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Dr. Green was always learning and improving himself. He was working on his health with some of our favorite returning guests, like Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Don Colbert. On Wednesday, June 8, 2022, due to unexpected health complications, our Dr. Steve Green signed off from this world and was received, or downloaded, in the arms of Jesus. We ask that you not only join us in honoring this man, but agree with me at the end of this episode for a special prayer for the Green family and the many more who loved and were impacted by this man. First, I would like to share a little bit about how I met Dr. Green. I was working as a television producer for a Christian television network in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was producing a daily program. Dr. Green happened to be scheduled as a guest, and we were going to do some special extra productions with him. And so I had a 45-minute phone call with him to plan what that content was going to be. In my first interaction with him, I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose with all the amazing information as he was talking about his book, Love Leads, and just how his principles of leadership really made an impact as you're investing into people. I was very touched by the things that he was saying, and then I got to meet him a few days later, and our connection as friends really started to develop there. Later on, we just stayed in touch, and I was able to leave comments about some of the things he would post on Facebook, and our friendship just kind of really made a great connection. And it got to the point where he actually asked me what was really going on in my life that with some of the responses that I was giving. And he saw something in me that I didn't quite even see myself, and he wanted to go deeper with me. And so he actually offered to coach me through some things that I was going through. And he invited me to come and spend a long weekend at his house. And some of those conversations there changed the course of my life. Just simple things that he said that were God-inspired wisdom changed the course of my life. And he became a life coach for me. And I would communicate and check in with him every week. And he would always pray for me and let me know what God was speaking to him about me, and helping me through starting my own podcast. And he told me one of the most amazing pieces of information, more inspiration from the Holy Spirit, because I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And Dr. Green told me this piece of advice, and he said, "You don't need to be the expert host. You need to be the fellow traveler. That's who you are, and that's what people will know you as and want to follow you as." And when he said that, it just opened up the possibility for me to be able to really do what I knew that God was calling me to do, but I was making it too difficult to do it the way that I thought I should. But his advice and his wisdom changed everything for me. And then he opened up a couple years later an opportunity for me to come to Charisma and work here and to help our podcast network and to use my gifts and callings here. And I've been honored to work with him from afar, and then I've been honored to work with him up close and personal as well. And right now, I'd like to share with you a special little clip from our interview together back in 2018, actually in the same room that I'm recording this right now, where Dr. Green interviewed me about my life.
We've been working for 3 years just to get 5 million downloads of our podcast, so that's a big number to get in any 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's good work.
Yeah, it's been really humbling to do that.
Your favorite guests that you've had on your show?
Well, Dr. Steve Green was definitely one of my favorites.
No kissing up.
I'm very serious about that, though. Having you on the program was really cool for me, because just to work with you and to learn about some of the you were talking about the Love Leads book, and just hearing some of the leadership principles, it was really encouraging to me.
That's great. I'm honored.
And dealing with some of the leaders I've dealt with in the past, and because everybody really is a leader in some way or another. Mm-hmm. No matter how you see yourself, you really are leading somebody, mm-hmm. Whether you realize it or not. And so it's a good example to look through all the things that you were saying. But I know because of our relationship that has developed because of that,
right.
It's been very cool.
So we talked just a little bit ago about how you got into this business and what you're doing now. What are some of your dreams for your work moving forward? What's 2019 look for you? What do you think God's telling you?
I fairly feel that 2019 is a year of transition. I feel like there's some of the things that God has spoken to me personally in the past I'm going to start to see those things come true. Or come to pass. At this station and with my work professionally, I'm looking forward to just seeing how God is going to use new opportunities that have come into the show that I produce now.
So what would you say to a young person today that you met in your life about who's fired up about going on a mission trip? What do young people need to consider today?
I think young people need to consider that life isn't all about you. Mm-hmm. God has a bigger plan for your life than you do, and it's how you can make an impact in the kingdom of God and have a kingdom impact that's an eternal impact that's not just something that makes me feel good for the moment. There's a lot of great mission trips out there that people will go on and they feel bad about the people that live in those situations, and there's a short-term change, mm-hmm. where they emotionally deal with just the situation that they were in and they experienced, and they come back and then a few weeks later, nothing in their life has actually changed. But whenever you go on a mission trip, to allow God to really change how you view people, not just their circumstances, but that every single person needs to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's good.
They could be living in a dump in Mexico City, or they could be living on Broadway in Manhattan or Fifth Avenue, but they still need Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And Christians in that zip code need to be ministering as well.
Absolutely.
It doesn't all happen in
Absolutely,
Africa.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments and started a long journey of friendship with Dr. Green. Next, we will hear from some fellow coworkers here at Charisma that were impacted by Dr. Green's life.
Hi, I'm Erica Heitz. And one of my fond memories of Dr. Green is he always called me his bud. Every time I ran into him, hey, bud, how are you doing, bud? He was a really, really great man. And I'll always remember him, that he always led with love. And I'll just hold that close to my heart.
Boy, the first time I met Dr. Green, his first words were to me, do you like roller coasters? And I'm like, not really. And he turned around and said, well, I want you to hold on, because we're going to go on a roller coaster ride. And it's been 7.5 years of roller coaster rides with him. Great ups. The downs were exciting. He'd bring us back up from the downs. And I learned so much through the years with him. His marketing insight has been nothing that I have ever experienced in my life. He taught and kept us teaching and always kept us learning and encouraged us and said, never stop learning. The minute that you stop learning is when you basically stop caring. So everything he taught, from the marketing side all the way through to relationships, watching him with relationships with clients and with other people, he will ever, ever have impacted my life as one of my mentors, and I will miss him dearly.
My name is Sean Akers, and I'm the online editor at Charisma. I knew Dr. Green for 7 years, and right away I knew that I'd have a kindred spirit with him. One, because we were both huge St. Louis Cardinal fans, and that's a bond that we shared that was incredible. We would text each other during games and things like that. But the biggest thing really for me is that Dr. Green, while I don't want to say that he was old enough to be my father, maybe a bigger brother, he taught me so much about life. His book, Love Leads, I've read it 3 times. Dr. Green showed me how and told me how I could better relate to my wife, better relate to my children. He gave me so much good advice, and I will be forever grateful for having him help me get closer to my family and to be a better person in the workplace. So he was a great friend, and I am absolutely going to miss him very, very much.
I'm Rebecca McInnes, office manager for Charisma Media. I had the privilege to meet Dr. Steve when he came to Charisma Media. His wife, Annette, stayed in Oklahoma to wrap things up and sell the house, so we had to get him settled into apartment living here for a while. He'd come in super early to work, and I'd come in a bit early so we could just talk, maybe share a breakfast sandwich or donut, and I could make sure he was doing okay. We had wonderful talks about all kinds of things, and we laughed a lot. I'm from Louisiana, and he lived in Louisiana for a good period of time, so yearning for good Cajun food would come up now and then. But I didn't know him as a boss, or a teacher, or a mentor, just as a friend, and I will miss my dear friend so much. I'm so thankful for this Christian life because one day we'll see him again, and what a day that will be.
We hope that these messages of love paint a picture of how much Dr. Green loved building relationships and cared about each person that he came in contact with. Even praying for them and their families, even their pets if they were sick, or a lost kitten. Green Lines was launched 7 years ago on June 4th, 2015, and reached over 11 million downloads with listeners in every nation and corner of the earth, including Antarctica. Dr. Green was always humbled by you, our listeners, and the support that you gave. With over 1,000 episodes, you still download the first few episodes. Here are some clips from the beginning years that are favorites of both Dr. Green and our Green Lines producer, Adelie. Let's start with episode 1, The Lady with a Bag.
It seems that she was engaged to a fellow who went off to World War II. He had proposed to the lady right before he left to go to war under the giant oak tree. And he said he would meet her again under the tree upon his return. He didn't return. The old pro didn't know what became of the guy. He only knew that the lady had been coming back to the tree every day for about 20 years. She did no harm to herself or to others. She just came to that tree every day to wait for her fiancé. Many of you would think that she was delusional. And I don't think she was. I think she was full of hope. The lady with a bag taught me about hope. One of man's greatest desires is to see a hope fulfilled. But one man's delusion is another man's hope. I think she had more hope than anyone I've ever met in my life. I don't think that for a minute that she thought there was something wrong or that her boyfriend wouldn't come back to get her. She just continued to hope. And a lot of people will look at that and say, that's nuts. That's delusional. You got a problem. She looks back at you and say, you're the one with a problem because you don't believe, you don't have hope. Leaders must always inspire hope. Sometimes I prefer hope over facts because hope springs eternal. In my life, the lady with a bag will always be my reminder to lead others as a merchant of hope.
People irritate us or people trip us and make us fall going down the hall. I'm going to still trust in the Lord no matter what because Jehovah Jireh is my God. Apply that. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in Jehovah Jireh as our provider. And then there's Jehovah Shalom. He'll give us peace at work. Jehovah Rapha, he'll heal us. You know, I believe that I need to be healed at work. We can be healed from our infirmities in the workplace. I'm surrounded by all kinds of disease and coughs and flus in the literal, and in the spiritual, I'm surrounded by small thinking or worldly thinking instead of spiritual thinking. I want to be surrounded by people who see through the eyes of the Lord. I want to be surrounded by people who see and walk in the Spirit, not by the junk of this world. That's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Nisi is our banner. Why do I need a banner? It's to remind me that God gave us the victory. Jehovah Nisi, his banner over his kingdom, over his table, is one of victory. Jehovah Shema, God is present. You know, at my desk, God is present. In the hallway, God is present. He goes with me. He goes with me to every appointment that he sets up. I want to be in front of his people all the time, every day. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide.
As the show grew, it evolved into Dr. Green's life message about abundant living. His heart's desire was for every one of you to live abundantly in every aspect of your life. This abundant living promise made a way for amazing guests to share their voice with practical messages and principles that could be applied to your life today, so you can be who God designed you to be. Dr. Green has interviewed a wide variety of guests, from a young girl selling Girl Scout cookies to big-name celebrities such as Grammy winner Harry Connick Jr., and leaders of the faith like John and Lisa Bevere, Dr. Mark Rutland, Marilyn Hickey, and so many more. He also dearly loved interviewing our Charisma Podcast Network podcasters, who we thank for their patronage and support every day. Then, our featured returning guests like Michael Snyder, Rabbi Kurt Landry, and Yael Eckstein. Here are some powerful clippings from some of Dr. Green's most memorable interviews.
Chairman and founder of Messenger International, and just a good brother in the Lord, and I don't know what else I could say about him that's more important than that. But here he is, John Bevere. Welcome back to Green Lines.
Dr. Green, what a privilege to be with you. And since we are in the green room, let me make this really clear that if I speak and I don't connect with the Holy Spirit, we're just getting a bunch of information.
Come on.
We desperately need him, and I wouldn't help a soul if I didn't have his help. So we're both, you and I, as men of God, we are looking for him to glorify Jesus on this program. So that's behind the scenes. That's in the green room. Yep. And now we can go out and talk to the people.
Well,
okay.
You know, I said it in another way. I said that when you speak, you're anointed. So I think you teach them how to turn a mess into a message.
Come on,
is that
man.
What I heard you say?
Yes, sir. We turn our mess into our message. We turn our
how you do that?
Into stars.
Oh, I love it. You're a writer, you know.
I love it.
But it's not that you've written it, it's that you've lived it.
Come on, man.
You know about turning a mess into a message. So just give us a little hint.
You know,
how does a person go about taking a great big old mess and making it a message?
I think you first have to forgive yourself for being in the mess. You know, I think what we do for so long is we walk around and society's got us believing that we're flawed instead of flawsome. You know, the world's got us thinking that we are on the clearance rack now because we were just torn up from the floor up. And the way you turn your mess into a message is you finally own your mess. You own your dirt, and you finally just say, you know what? I'm human. And every single time, this is the hope right here. When you realize that every single thing you've gone through has qualified you for something that nobody in your family will ever walk through.
I feel like there's potential in this book to have a long life and just to help a lot of people to trust that God's about to encounter our earth, and he's going to encounter us with such a beautiful presence of who he is. It's going to bring a resolution to a lot of major issues that we're disconcerted by right now.
And so do you believe it'll bring peace to these that are wringing their hands and got lonely grub and can't
yes.
help us?
Encounter with God is the antidote for stress right now. And yes, I think it'll bring peace.
Yes, I'll take it. I think all of us will. Even those who live in peace and have it, I want more of it, you know, and because you can't turn the TV on without hearing about monkeypox
and whatever the media wants to run down our ears and into our hearts now. And I just don't want to receive it. I don't want any more of this. I'm just tired of it. And I think that will drive people back to the pews. That's what I'm praying, is that this will get people back in church.
Yeah.
If they're seeking God, and I'm not wanting to get them in a building and get them back in a box. I just want them to worship the Lord and to not forsake the assembly. Yeah. You know, to get back and be with people and love on people and do a little bit of love leadership and see what can happen in their lives. And Sean, we just need people like you to keep talking and keep writing and keep the prophetic alive and strong with no fear at all.
Even with all the interviews, there was a side that you didn't get to see or hear, the relationship between producer and host. Dr. Green and producer Adderley worked alongside one another, building the show, scheduling guests, and always making sure to keep the abundant living promise. Their daily recording sessions were filled with more mischief and fun than you could imagine. Hey, Adderley, why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it was kind of funny. Dr. Green came in here as our executive VP of the media group, which is more like the magazine, the digital media, all the different aspects. And he started a creative team meeting where for a couple of months we had a few where he started introducing the idea of podcast. And he said that he was already talking to our founders and owners, Joy and Steve String, about it. And he was just wanting to get ideas. And a bunch of us were coming out with different things, different sessions. And one of the meetings, he told us to pray about how you wanted to be involved in podcasting. So I, at the time, and for majority of the time, I was our promotions manager for our audience development department. And so I was more into marketing than anything. And I hadn't worked in any kind of audio or video recording probably since high school and college in this kind of aspect. And then I just was praying, and I kept hearing the word God say the word producer. So there was a meeting between my supervisor and I and Dr. Green. And my supervisor at the time was David Manning, and which Dr. Green always looked at us as the troublemakers of the media group. Every time we'd walk into it.
He wasn't wrong. No.
You know, he wasn't. Every time we'd walk into his office, the two of us, we were like, we got an idea. And he's like, do I want to hear about it? And we're like, no, we've already implemented it. We just want you to know. And he would be like, get out of my office. But not in a bad way, more in that jovial father type style. Like, what is those two kids up to? I better be aware of their mischief. And so the three of us were sitting in a meeting, and I said, oh, by the way, Dr. Green, you know how you're telling us we need to be praying about where we saw ourselves in podcasting? I said, I kept hearing the word producer. I'm thinking of a show. And he says, okay, great. I want you to set up the podcast network. I'm like, what? Yeah, here. And you and I will be working together one-on-one to set this up and develop it and put it together. So that's how the Charisma Podcast Network started. It was first he presented the idea to our founder, Stephen Joy. They gave the green light and the blessing. And as Steve String says, Dr. Green was the inspiration for the Charisma Podcast Network and the podcast and where we are today with over 82 million downloads for the past 7 years. So that's just one of the funniest stories where Dr. Green and I are just, it was just kind of like that kind of banter already. Yeah. And I was like, I was like, okay, sure, I'll take it on. I didn't realize what I was taking on at the time. I thought, oh, we'll have a couple of shows. But then when he gave the full vision, I grabbed onto it and I just ran with it. And even today, I want to make sure I honor him that and honor the vision he had for Charisma Media with the podcast network and all of our podcasters that I carry on that legacy, because I want this to live on beyond me, beyond him, beyond our founders, anybody who's ever touched Charisma Media.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about. Like, it's really cool to be able to carry that legacy on. And, you know, you've been here since the beginning of the podcast network. But there was a lot of episodes and interviews that were recorded right here in this studio where you had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Green, have interviews with people, or to just be able to.
I still hear him in my head daily.
You still, yeah. Yeah. But tell me about what it was like to record a podcast with him.
There's so many memories. What people see is the finished product.
Right.
They don't see what goes into the previous product. Dr. Green and I would have meetings of ideas beforehand in his office. We'd have like pre-show, pre-interview meetings. It's sometimes kind of hard to explain what goes into it and the producer's role because there's so many aspects of it. And he was our executive producer, so we would sometimes butt heads. Uh-huh. But overall, we mainly agreed. And when we butt heads, it wasn't like we were really butting heads. It was just like, this is how I see it. This is how I see it. And we'd come together to bring in the full vision of what he was seeing, especially for Green Lines, Outward with God, and Love Leads. Those were his shows. Those were his ideas that he wanted to bring forth and his messages that he wanted to bring to people. And so what we would do, we had a scheduled time every day. 2 p.m. was our time. It was where we got to spend an hour or more together. We'd come in the studio. We already had everything planned out ahead of time from previous meetings. And we would sit there and we would actually cut up. Like sometimes he'd come in from a meeting or he'd come in from working and he would be all we would kind of have to loosen up the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
We would pray. The number one thing in the studio that was a requirement from day one is we have a Bible on the studio table. It's for God's word. And we always prayed, and the Holy Spirit's always in here. We always made sure we followed through with the Holy Spirit. We would have, you know, I even play worship music to this day sometimes to make the atmosphere inviting and about always putting God first.
Yeah.
And so he would come in and he'd sit down and he would ask me questions about the host. Did you get this? Did you get this? Do you know about this? Do you know about this? And I'm like, there would be sometimes I'm like, I'm as clueless as you are. He's like, you're my producer. Produce. You're supposed to know this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, your people didn't give me the info. Because sometimes we would get interviews or suggestions from other people outside of the show or the company.
Right.
So I would be like, you said yes. I said no. He would be like, he'd be like, well, make sure I know what I'm doing. And like little things like that, we would go back and forth and cut up. And then we'd be like, then we would guess, is this going to be a good interview? Or are they going to take over? Is this going to be a good one? What do you think? So it was like
so you kind of played games with each other and you knew like.
Yeah, we would always, we'd make faces at each other and through the window, because we have a window, like we have this studio where you walk into the door and it's the studio table with the mics and everything. Then I'm in a separate room in the same suite that has a clear window. So we could see each other and we could do signals to each other and make faces. I had a separate mic where only he could hear me and the guest couldn't. So if a question popped into my head, ask him this, you know, or some idea came into the play because I was following the conversation, he would actually listen to me. He would actually listen to me, people, and ask the question. I would be like, yay, win for me, win for producer. But then the real fun was afterwards. Like the interviews always went great. Dr. Green really had a heart to try and draw out the story out of the people. And in the beginning years, we started off where it was just Dr. Green. And I'd be like, and we would start off the recording when he had a Green Lines blog. So it was all about leadership. So he would tell stories and we'd bring in the blog and then he would use that as bullet points and just went off the cuff. We didn't have script writing. He really was like a one-hit recorder, one-hit wonder, where he just got it right there, that first recording. And he would retell the story, but in a different way. So if you read the story in the blog and you listened to audio, they didn't match.
Yeah.
There would be similarities, but they didn't match. So he would walk in and he'd sit down when we were doing the days where it's just Dr. Green solo. I'd be like, okay, Dr. Green, talk to me. Preach to me. Tell me, get my spirit going. He would start laughing at me like, you need preaching too. You need this lesson.
Yeah. And he did his audiobook. You guys worked on that together with Love Leads. And I've listened to it and tried to follow along. And I'm like, wait a second. This is not what's written in here. He threw in a lot of himself into that. Even though he wrote it, he also then added a lot of character to that.
Making me laugh and cry because that's one of my favorite recording moments. In 2017, he released his book Love Leads, and he's like, I gotta record the audiobook. And I was like praying to myself, oh Lord, how's this gonna go? Because he's like, I'm gonna go off the cuff. Like he would read it and he'd go, I'm going off the cuff here. I don't like this. I want to be more entertaining, where it's different, where the audiobook's different from the book, and they need both. And so I would have to make notes following along because I would have to let the editors know, or the book people know. And this was before it got stricter with like the syncing.
Audible and stuff.
Audible, before they got stricter with the syncing of how much had to be exactly like the book and how much was off the cuff. So we would come in And we had a, he was always more in a, those were fun recordings because he was in more of an upbeat mood. He's like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can handle reading myself or I don't know if I can handle hearing my own words. I'm like, you can do it. You like talking. I was like, you like to hear yourself. Just be honest. And yeah. We would have this type of banter back and forth. And so he would start and then all of a sudden he gets to a story part and he would ad lib and I would be, you couldn't hear me, but I would be in my room. I was like literally off the chair, like laughing. And he would,
it's a good thing it's soundproof over there.
And,
yeah.
Yes, it is good for soundproof because what people don't realize, every time Dr. Green and I went into a recording, no matter what he was recording, whether it was an audio book, a podcast show, an interview for another show or an entity or a commercial, like mm-hmm. he even was one of our first readers for our sponsor commercials. And that's on the network. He would always feed off my cues. So if I was making faces or hearing things that didn't sound right, or if I was getting distracted myself because we both get text during the time of recording, mm-hmm. he would get frustrated. He's like, I feed off of you. You got to look at me. I got to know if this is good or not. And the way you would react just tells me how good it is. And I'd be like, okay. I was like, but you were texting me and this person was texting me and this is all for another project that you know?
There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, people. Just so you know, there's a lot of fun things. Yes.
There was a lot of interruptions we would get too. Yeah. So we had to get to a point where the two of us had to put our phones away. Yeah. So the recording time was focused recording time.
Yeah. Don't text Adelie while she's recording. That's just not a good idea.
No, it's not. Yeah, I might hit the wrong button. And that brings another great story. Dr. Green's would always go, she's got to learn how to hit the right button. She don't know. All she's got to do is hit a button, which he knows I had to do more.
Right.
But the banter between us and the people we were interviewing, he's like, I got to wait. She's flagging me down. I can't. He would start before I gave him the signal to start. And then
because he was excited.
He also wasn't paying attention to my signals too sometimes. And so I'd be like, stop. I'm like waving my hands in the air, like practically jumping up and down. And he's like, excuse me, I got to start over because my producer doesn't know how to hit a button. She's like doing it. So he would come back at it. And then the listener would sometimes hear us going back and forth because over the years, our equipment and the way we recorded has changed, even in the studio. So from our beginning years to where we are now, because a lot of times Dr. Green loved for me to do where it made it sound like we were connecting them into the studio. So when an interview person would call, I got to talk with them and chat with them and then send them over to the host. So that's what I loved about Dr. Green, because I was able to even talk to some of our guests, like fans of. He would also look at me and roll his eyes too when I would like fan out with some of these people. It's like, I've been listening to you since I was a little girl and blah, blah, this. I think Amy Grant was one that did. And I was like, Amy Grant. Even though I met her with a meet and greet at one of her concerts, it was still kind of it's like, I can't believe. And then we both, oh my goodness, one of my favorite stories and celebrities we did was Harry Connick Jr. when he released his, I guess, gospel type album last year.
Okay.
He did a whole, and he did like hymns and songs of gospel, which was great. And Dr. Green and I loved it. And we were, before he came on, we were going, did you hear that song? What song did you like? Did you like this song? We're going, oh my goodness, Harry Connick Jr. is going to be on our show. We were like jumping, like we were freaking out, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, because I'm from New Orleans area, Louisiana. He was going all Creole on me. I was like, the Louisiana accent was starting to come out of Dr. Green a lot. And I'm just like, I was just laughing my head off because people don't realize Dr. Green had his radio voice.
Oh, yeah.
But then when he started making connections with people from
different
areas he's lived in or...
Oh, he could turn those on. He could turn those accents on and he could joke and...
So with Harry Connick Jr., I really saw it come out. I really heard it come out and saw it come out. But we were like, oh my goodness, he's calling. And so we get on the phone and we're talking with him, both of us, and we're just looking at each other like... like all excited in the face but we're happy to be all hi, welcome to the show, thanks for calling, and we're just like we're trying not to freak out
right.
So that's one of my favorite memories, and with us recording and stuff like that, it just, we had sometimes Michael Schneider was one of our guests,
the regular guest.
We loved Michael Schneider, but then there was sometimes afterwards we were like, after Michael was talking, we're like, so should we get a bunker and some food and hide under until the rapture?
Yeah.
But what you miss behind the scenes was Michael Snyder, one of his cats ran away or was lost. And mm-hmm. so every time we would talk with Michael, Dr. Green would, because he loved cats and had one himself, he'd go, "Hey, Michael, how's your cats doing? We'll be praying that they get found." Yeah. You didn't get to hear or see that side where he got to connect with them in that way. Like, how's it going with the family? He would ask our regular right. guests. Like with Rabbi Kurt Landry, he'd say, "Hey, Rabbi, what's going on? What's teaching now?" And he would ask him questions mm-hmm. about Israel. And then they would got to know Dr. Green and would ask questions about him.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Mark Sherwood, is running for governor. So we would ask him, "How's your governor race going?" And mm-hmm. we would have like these conversations even pre-interview that had nothing to do with the show and afterwards. And sometimes they would ask Dr. Green questions and pray with him. And, you know, Carol McLeod was a friend of Dr. Green's, and she came on the show a few times, every time she had a book, and we would have really great talks with her. And they even mm-hmm. had a conversation about you, John.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that one.
Because they're both friends with you. So I thought that was hilarious. They had a whole talk about
my relationship status and trying to fix that. So, yeah.
And I'm in the studio. I was like, I had to laugh my head off because you and I had known each other because it wasn't really long after you have came
my
and
first visit,
us.
Yeah.
And I just laughed my head off. I said, "John would be like so embarrassed right now if they heard what they were talking about, trying to see if they knew anybody to fix them up with."
I appreciate that's one of the things I love about Dr. Green is that he really cared for people, not just what they could do for him he really cared about people as a whole.
He did. A lot of times with me and him, I would be able to grab him and meet him and say, "Okay, Dr. Green, this is where I need your feedback on our issues mm-hmm. on different things going on with either the network, or different other projects he had me working on for the company under him and different things like that." Also, he would ask me how are he never got to meet my parents in person, mm-hmm. but they both knew of each other. My parents right. prayed for him. He prayed for my parents. My parents would also keep him and Annette in prayer because that's one thing that people don't understand. To me, there's Dr. Green, but there's Dr. Green and Annette. And those two were like one. They were like family to me. And one time they had friends come and visit, and they brought him into the studio. And Annette was sitting back with me.
Uh-huh.
And she was helping me produce. It was the best. Dr. Green kept giving us these looks and looking at me like, and Annette would be pointing to him and making faces at him. And he'd be looking at us like, "Stop it." And
she was producing the way that only a wife can.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm in my chair just laughing. And he was like,
"Yeah,
what were y'all doing?" I was like, "Hey, Annette can do whatever she wants to in the studio." And he's like, and I would always ask, "Okay, where's my marriage podcast for me too?" He's like, "No." And I'd be like, "I need you, Annette, too." "No."
Yeah.
he would like have that banter where it was so funny. But like one of my favorite memories is when she was in the studio with him and the way them two cut up with each other, because he was laughing at us in there, and it was a marriage and it was a couple. So all of us at that time had such a great moment. Mm-hmm. But the best memory I think I have, one of the best memories, was our first year. Bill Hammond came with two of his team members.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this interview in the studio, and this happened to us many a times with people, was a spiritual aspect you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's Bill Hammond prophesied over Dr. Green and over me.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed for us. We would have people. I remember Michael Koulianos came in the studio and he did special prayers for all of us. He even did a special prayer for my mom who was sick at the time.
Yeah.
You don't get to hear that. You don't get to see those prayer and spiritual moments where people, when they are in the studio, they actually they were prophesying over mm-hmm. us. They were prophesying over the network, over the company. And that Bill Hammond one, I still today have that recording of what they said about Dr. Green
mm-hmm.
and what they said about me. Like, I still have that, and that's very special to me because that was the
right.
first time that ever happened in the studio, and it led the way for many more moments like that in the future in the studio. And even Dr. Green had times where he prophesied and spoke into people's life in the studio and guest, either mm-hmm. whether they were over the phone, if we were recording over Zoom, or if they were in the studio, because our later recordings, the last 8 months, was over Zoom because Dr. Green semi-retired and we started recording off-site with him, and we still had those Holy Spirit moments.
Yeah,
we still had those moments of prayer. We still had those moments of people speaking into our lives, and that's something I'll always take with me, especially when we were doing the At Work with God ones. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. Dr. Green, preach to me, teach me now, feed into my life. People don't realize no matter what he did, he always spoke something spiritual into your life.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't a believer, he still somehow worked in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that was something I'll always take with me, are this more the spiritual lessons, and then all the stuff he ingrained in me as a leader, as overseeing, almost like setting this up as a broadcast network, mm-hmm. to oversee the spiritual aspect, and putting the Holy Spirit first is something I always take with me more and more every day.
That's good. That's really good. You know, Dr. Green was the executive producer, and you were the producer, but what a producer does when it comes to the relationship with a producer and a host is the producer oftentimes is pulling out the best in the host, and whether they are ready for it emotionally or, you know, physically, you know, it's kind of the producer's job to make sure that the host is giving their best. And sometimes giving your best leads to an abundant life. I mean, it should lead to an abundant life, you know? So Dr. Green pulled the best out of you, but you pulled a lot out of him as well. Now, his show promise was abundant living. How has your life become more abundant because of working with Dr. Green in this studio?
I think it's more than just the studio, because Dr. Green and I worked outside the studio too. Yeah. You know, I probably notice it more today now that he's gone on to do podcasting in heaven, because
mm-hmm.
I know he had probably told God he wanted a studio in his mansion up in heaven.
Yeah.
And with a huge library of every book that's he's ever wanted or read, or more all whatever thing Paul's ever written. And how do I even describe it? How it's more richer. My life is more abundant because he helped me find again my creative side.
Hmm.
He helped me to see there's more to me than what I believed there was, that I can push the limits and still keep growing educationally, spiritually, and even more. My life is more abundant because he was in it, because of just he literally led by loved and tried to be as Christ-like as the best he can. He wasn't perfect because he was still human and man.
Right.
But just seeing him each day trying to put into practice what he taught, that made me realize this is a true man of God, who loves his family, who loves his wife, his children, his grandchildren, and all the people he worked with. Even though there were times he didn't agree with you, even though there was times the relationships were not close, he still would see you through the love of Christ each and every day. And he really tried to live up each day to lead in love. And he would even ask himself, Lord, did I lead in love today? Did I mm-hmm. react or respond the way I should have? And that really helped me to know, because I've been in so many different environments that were more, especially spiritually, more hostile and negative, where he taught me I didn't have to be afraid. My life is more richer because I know when I walk out in the door and everywhere I walk, I have favor. Because that's one lesson he taught. He said when he went into meetings and he reminded himself, I walk in favor. I have favor. This will go, you know, to believe and change your mindset and renew your mindset. And I saw it as an example with him. There was times where he had his hard days, and we all do. But mm-hmm. just seeing that he got up the next morning and started anew again.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Even I'd go, why?
Yeah.
But then he would laugh at me because I was the opposite. When Dr. Green was waking up at 3 a.m.
You're still up.
I'm up going to bed at that time.
Yeah. So, neither of which is healthy, by the way.
No, it's not. So why he had
Dr. Morning, Sherwood, I don't think would approve.
No, wouldn't. And neither would Dr. Colbert.
That's true.
Dr. Colbert was on the show regularly and had a great relationship with Dr. Green. It actually taught Dr. Colbert, one of Dr. Colbert's son at ORU. So so it was kind of like, you had all these friendships or relationships. That's really where you see where your life is abundant. You see, he not only touched you, but he touched so many. But I kind of now forgot what I was going to say. You distracted me.
I know. That's. This has been a lot of fun to be able to have you talk about Dr. Green and share some of your memories, because You've been a part of this for what, 1,200 some episodes. But on the
everyone on the
1,000th episode, Dr. Green actually let you turn on the microphone and you got to be a part of it with him.
Oh my goodness. You guys don't know what I went through to get that. At first, okay, the idea for the 1,000th, I said, Dr. Green, you and I should just do it and interview each other, share a fair moments. He's like, no, I don't know if I want you on it. And I'm just like, okay, fine. You just sit on that for a while. And then he finally came around. I was like, okay, I'll let you say something. So he just had to give me a hard time on it. But then he only gave me like a little snippet of time. I'm like, what's going on there? I was like, I've been with you forever. It's like with this whole show.
It was
it was kind of funny because he was like, you can't hear her, but she's behind there, you know? And I don't know. It was just those moments where we would laugh, the fake commercials he would do. Like after, when we would get in here, like if we recorded after 3 o'clock, it was like.
He was done.
I was done. We were making up radio shows, old radio show commercials. He was doing like sports announcements. He was every voice. We were doing voice, all kinds of voiceovers, and I would literally be on the floor in my room, like literally off the chair, laughing so hard, and it would just ag him on even more. And these are the moments I'm going to take away and always have. Like when I'm sitting in the studio and I'm looking through that window. The producer's window. I just see him and what we've built together, and I smile. I have my moments of sadness, but just knowing that he's living through this, he was always wanting to leave a legacy, and I don't think he realizes through his family, through his students, through the people he's mentored and coached all these years, through his clients, and even through us here at Charisma Media, how much he's leaving a legacy. Because I see it every day. I see where we implement where he's taught us, the lessons he's taught us. Just, and I, like I said, there would be times like we would joke when I'd say, okay, Dr. Green, I was about to do this, but I heard you in my head say no, or you should do this, or your lessons to run to your problems, or no excuses, or, you know, renew your mind and things like that. We would joke about like how he would be in my head, like you would hear a parent in your head telling you what to do. And now I didn't realize when he would say to me so much, I got to get ingrained to you as much as I can and teach you as much as I know to carry it on, how short our time was. I don't think you, and I really want people each day, if you have people in your life like your parents, like Dr. Green, mentors, coworkers, friends, family, reach out to them. Dr. Gina Prince and I, who's on our network and who's been on the show, we were talking about that. Like, you don't realize how short the moments are, and that you even need to check on the strong people. You need to check on the ones not only who are weak and need you, but you need to check on the ones that are strong and who don't always need you. And that's something I'll take away too from Dr. Green. He, like you said, he always cared about everyone and wanted to make sure you were loved and you knew that God loved you and stuff. And so, so yeah, I will always see Dr. Green in the studio, no matter what.
Well, I'm glad that we got you on this side of the glass, and we could hear some of your memories. And, you know, as we said earlier, they celebrated the 1,000th episode a couple hundred episodes ago now. But we want to play a clip from that episode.
Where I was actually allowed to be on Green Lines.
There are so many stories. I think that if I tried to summarize them all, I would keep you for a few hours. And I know I wouldn't keep you because you've got a life to live. But it's good to recollect and talk about and, you know, share a little bit about with my wonderful partner and host and producer of Every Green Lines. She's been with me since episode one. We tease back and forth, but we love each other. We respect each other. And I don't know what I'd do without her. So, Adley, I just want to ask you, before we go further, what your favorite episode is of all times. If I were to ask you, if you were to recommend one episode of Green Lines, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Man, there's so many good ones. We've transitioned over the years from leadership to marketing to your abundant living messages, because you're all three. And I think my favorite one is still our first one, Lady with the Bag, that they'll hear a snippet of later, because it just gives such a message of hope and kind of shows who you are as a person and introduces you very well. Far as interviews, the one that has impacted me, there's a couple of that impacted me the most. Real Talk Kim, which she'll be coming up. I've been going through, like when you've been going through struggles, just her wording changed me and how I started to get back to who God made me to be and think differently. And then Chris Vallotton, his book, I've been reading that. And
it's called Spiritual Intelligence, and it's a wild book.
It is a wild book. I have the audio book and the actual paperback version. And those are two of my favorite, but every interview I'd recommend because you'll take out something from it. Funny thing is we've interviewed almost all the Breviers in their books, and they're always fun to have on the show. So
they are.
They're some of my favorites. And just each show becomes my favorite show because something different happens. Or in behind the scenes, there's some kind of unique recording stuff goes on that nobody knows.
And should not ever know. But Adelaide, one of the fun things about this show is you just never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. It's very spiritual in that, you know, some of the shows we cut up have a little more fun. But there's always a spiritual takeaway that you've watched it. You've watched this studio. You've watched our live guest. And you've watched the Holy Spirit at work just rock us, you know, and what goes on behind the scenes as we respond to the Holy Spirit. The pictures we take after. The prayers. You've had prophetic hands laid on you by some of the guests who are hosts that have come into the studio.
Yes.
And I have too. And there are just some amazing things that happen. And we both realize that this is very much a ministry.
It is. Bill Hammond is one of my favorite guests to have on too, because he will give a prophetic word even to us personally. And it's just amazing that a guest would take the time to even speak to us.
Right.
Even one of our podcasters on our show, Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, he emailed me one time saying, hey, can I share this message the Lord showed me like months later? You build a relationship with the guests that we have and with the publicist, and you never know how the Holy Spirit's going to work. And you can just, no one realizes it until you're in the studio, how you can feel his presence and feel him working.
Well, that's the other point that we've heard from a lot of audience members about healings, about life-changing moments, things that just pointed them in the right direction, maybe. A podcast isn't an end-all, be-all, but it's a pointing device. It'll point you to a book, point you to a pastor, to a ministry, to an evangelist, to a life changer, just someone that you connect with in this podcast or the next podcast or one to come a year from now. You'll connect with them, and they'll say something to you that'll rock you, just like it does.
Oh,
us.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And you never know what ministry you might connect with that person has dealt with the same issue or circumstance you've dealt with. That'll just bring you right out of it. We've interviewed so many different ministries that do such amazing things, from not just prophetic, but bringing people out of sex trafficking, marriages, talking about how you can have stronger marriages. And you just have such a big genre that we cover, because it's not abundant life doesn't mean making money to have an abundance. It's about every aspect, having God, deeper relationships, and him leading you and just listening to his Holy Spirit, just guiding you in every aspect.
I think abundant living is about the fruit of the Spirit.
Agreed.
Just line up the nine, and that's abundant living. And just know that Jesus loves you, and he wants the best for you. He really is concerned about everything that happens from baptism to burial. You know, we all are going to go to heaven, and we're looking forward to that. And certainly the older I get, the more I do. But at the same time, I really care about these days in between. I want to live life abundantly. I want to get all that I can get. I want to multiply life. I want to multiply the people that I minister with.
Dr. Green and Adelie also want to thank Rebecca Leedy, Dr. Green's assistant, who tirelessly set up the interviews for the two, our editors over the years, Toby, David, Nathan, and Ania. As Dr. Green would say, they make me sound good. As you've heard today, Dr. Steve Green leaves a legacy of love. He will be dearly missed, but not forgotten. At this point, he's had more than a week in heaven, so we already know that he started a podcast or two, and he's finding out all the answers to all the questions that he's always wanted to know by interviewing Jesus, angels, Paul, and many more. We invite you to go back and listen to these episodes from a great man who worked every day to exemplify Jesus Christ. He was not perfect, but he sought the heart and always looked for the good. Love the people, tough on systems. You can find additional messages from Dr. Steve Green's other podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, At Work with God, and the companion podcast to his book, Love Leads. Before we close this show, please join me in prayer for the Green family. Dr. Green loved them dearly and shared stories from time to time on the show about his wife Annette, his son Landon, his daughter Kimberly, and their three grandchildren. Father God, we thank you so much for the gift of Dr. Green. We thank you for all the impact that he's had in our lives. Whether we've just been listening on this podcast for years, or you just discovered it, or you had personal contact with Dr. Green. God, we just thank you so much for the investment that he made into so many people and how their lives have totally been made abundant because of the things that you've given him to give to other people. God, we pray for his family, that you would comfort them as they are grieving the loss of this great man, of this great Son of God. And God, we just pray that you would help them to continue to walk in abundance and that they would be able to love you more as Dr. Green does. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Producer Adderley, why don't you do the honors of closing out this episode?
Thank you to all of our listeners these last 7 years. I love you just as much as Dr. Green loved every single one of you. He didn't know you, but he was humbled by your loyalty and faithfulness to his shows, to our network, and just to the Holy Spirit, and just seeking out the Lord each and every day. And right after he passed, I was trying to write something to honor him on social media and his obituary page and everything. And I didn't want to do it, but my mom encouraged me. She said, you need to do this for your grieving and to show how much he meant to you. And so I'm going to close the show. So be patient and bear with me to kind of sum up Dr. Green and sum up our relationship that you have joined with us each and every episode. And again, just thank you, and just know that you were loved just as much as he loved each one of us that you've heard on the show talking about him today. Dear Dr. Steve Green, you came into my life 7 years ago when you stepped into the halls of Charisma Media, winter 2015. I did not know my life would change forever or how on June 4th, 2015, you would launch the first podcast episode of Green Lines in the Charisma Podcast Network. Later, we produced At Work with God and Charisma Connection, and this year in the Love Leads podcast after the book's release. First impressions? You said to me, I never met anyone like you. My response? Well, thank you. Your head was already shaking while trying not to laugh at me. This was a start of a great friendship. One where you and Annette became family, more than a mentor. We joked many times and signed emails and text as your tormentor. In a positive, fun-loving way, it was iron sharpens iron. It is so hard to find one story to share, as I have so many. All bring such joy. From late recordings where we made up our own commercials or broadcast radio announcements to unique interviews where we looked at each other as if we entered a different realm. You enjoyed each one, and we learned so much from each guest. Lindsay Roberts had it right when she said that you were like Larry King after her interview earlier this year. Dr. Don Colbert told me, too, you are one of the best interviewers he's ever had. You were always humbled by who you interviewed and found it an honor they would be on the show. Our list of guests ranged from a Girl Scout selling cookies, great leaders in faith, to one of our favorites where we had to dial down the fandom before Harry Connick Jr. called in. There is so much more I can say. From the marketing skills and leadership you ingrained in me, speaking skills, how to tell a good story, and all you knew on podcasting. But that is just the scratch of the surface. I hear you in my head saying, produce, or what do you have to run to now? Most importantly was the spiritual lessons you gave me. I am blessed not only to hear your devotions you wrote for the podcast and the meetings, but at various places you ministered to or our conversations when you would pray for my family. You were the example of Love Leads in many ways. Most importantly, you sought out the Holy Spirit first. I still keep the same Bible on the podcast studio table since day one of recording and to make sure the Holy Spirit is filling the studio daily. I am missing you even more in our weekly recording sessions. The conversations, jokes, laughter, and fun will stay with me for a lifetime. Thank you, Dr. Green, for everything and for seeing the best in me. Our last conversation included a picture montage of my phone of all of our times here in the studio. This does not even capture half of it. The first picture, you were holding a book that says run, and you told me that you were on your way to run. I picture you now running into the arms of Jesus, reading in your mansion's huge library, and getting to the answers to why Paul and Barnabas fought and if they ever came back together and ministered, because I know that was one of your favorite stories you always had questions on. I promise to our listeners, to our podcasters, to carry on everything you taught me, the network we helped build together. And added bonus, I promise to read 200 books a year to match yours. I love you and Annette. My prayers go out to all of the family, friends, students, and the many people who you impacted. Now, sign off one last time with our Green Lines tag.
So I hope you enjoyed these brief reviews to our shows. Like I said, there are many more that I could have played. Every podcast interview I've had was worth airing. It was worth listening to, or it wouldn't be up. I think everyone's added value in ways that only the Holy Spirit knows. He's the one that gave unction to the show. I just ask questions as inspired by the Holy Spirit. We prepare hard. We spend a lot of time preparing, but we come into the studio and let the Holy Spirit take over. So I want to leave you with this one last message, that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, that we might multiply our gifts, and how Jesus wants us to multiply. Jesus believes in that new math called multiplication, not addition by 1 + 1, but 7 × 94, or some hard mathematical geometric progression. He wants to multiply our gifts. So I want to ask you today, who will you multiply? What will you multiply? When will you multiply? Where will you multiply? Think about all of those and then ask yourself, how will I multiply the grace that Jesus showed me on the cross? How will you multiply the gifts of the power of the Holy Spirit? How will you multiply your time here on earth? So when it comes to thanking people that have meant a lot to me in my life, to this ministry, and to the Charisma Podcast Network, I want to start with Steve and Joy Strang. I remember when I brought him the idea, I remember Joy Strang looking at me and just immediately nodding and said, this is of the Lord. And that means a lot to me when Joy Strang says it's of God. And then for Steve to support me through some very difficult days where we weren't sure the Charisma Podcast Network was going to make it, if it was a business decision that we wanted to continue to stay with. But Steve, I always believed that the show was going to work, that the network was going to make it. And I just want to thank Steve and Joy. If I were to tell you all the things they mean to me, it would go all the way back to that day I came to start the Charisma Podcast Network. I knew that we would, as I've said. But it's also the time that Joy stayed with my wife, Joy, and others here from the studio when I was having open heart surgery. There are certain things people remember in their lives, and one is people who will sit with your wife while they're cutting on you when they bust your chest wide open, open up your heart and play with it for a while. You remember those who were sitting with your wife just in case you don't come back. So hard to forget those things. Hard to describe the love I have for two people that have owned Charisma for over 47 years, who have served selflessly and yet for the glory to God. So
Thank you for making the Charisma Podcast Network possible, and thank you for allowing me to do the Green Lines podcast. And let me say one more time, thank you to all podcast hosts that have joined with me here on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you to my producer, Adley, and to Ania, who's helped me so much behind the scenes and in editing, and also to my friends in Tulsa who helped me from day one. I want to express my thanks that I really never do here on live because they don't like it, but to David, who did almost every edit to this show except for the last, oh, maybe last 50 or 100, somewhere in there, to Nathan and Samantha Holyfield, who've been with me since college at ORU. I taught Samantha before she married Nathan. Now they have a baby. I'm so thankful for their lives, who they are, what they mean to me, how much they give back. So Nathan, no, I love you, bud, and I appreciate you. And Samantha, you know what I think of you too and your family. So thanks again to all of you. Again, I'm humbled and grateful and blessed to know each one of you and to all that you represent to minister in the name of Jesus. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my very capable and competent producer, Adley, we want to tell you that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God bless you all.